Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to you all. Welcome to those here in the sanctuary and to those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or the week. It's good to be back with you following my short break in Kintyre. The weather was like here, it was really quite bright but very cold. But I was able to wrap up and have some good walks along the beach, which I greatly enjoyed. But it's good to go away, also good to come back home, to your own home and your own bed. Isn't that true? So good to be back with you, and my grateful thanks to the Reverend Bruce McNichol for conducting the service last Sunday. I was saying to Bruce earlier, I watched the service last night, a very fine, fine service, and I appreciated your message, Bruce, but also your prayer for me and for my family. That touched me very much. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory, hymn 210, Awake My Soul and With the Sun. Call to prayer comes from Psalm 1. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Let us pray. Almighty God, wherever Jesus went, crowds flocked to be near him. We gather today believing that he is present with us, and eagerly we seek to hear him speak, that we might learn more about him and the people he wants us to be. Gracious God, you are our rock and fortress. the one in whom we find refuge and who gives us strength. We praise you for your goodness to us and for your love which is vast like the ocean. Lord God, blessed are those who take to heart your word and who build their lives upon it. We confess there are times when we stray from the path you have set before us, and when we allow the voices of this world to drown out your whisper. We acknowledge that we do not always love our neighbour, opting instead to put our own needs first. And with shame, we call to mind those times we have betrayed your trust and failed to match our words with action. Almighty God, long-suffering and compassionate, for your love that refreshes and renews, for your light that guides our feet and illumines our path, and for your forgiveness that heals and restores us so that we may not wither, we thank and praise you. Gracious God, whose mercies are new every morning, and who has prepared for your people a delightful inheritance, bless this time of worship, and hear us now as part of your worldwide family. We say the prayer our Saviour taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Friends, tea, coffee and biscuits will be served in the parish halls following the service today. It would be lovely to see you there, so please do come along if you can. The parish halls is the first building on the right as you go down the road from the church. Please do come. The craft group will meet in the parish halls this Thursday at 2. Next Sunday, following the service, there'll be a further time of prayer in the McMichael Chapel. I remind you that prayer requests can be attached to the prayer tree or placed in the box in the McMichael Chapel. And likewise, requests for prayer can also be made online via the link on the church website. The Tuesday group will meet in the parish halls a week this Tuesday at 2 o'clock, all welcome. And a week on Wednesday, there'll be a service in Eccles Court, also at 2. I remind you of the organathon, is that the proper pronunciation, Tony? That Tony's participating in on the 8th of March. If you would like to sponsor Tony, please speak to him or put your name on the sheet of paper out there in the vestibule of the church. There will be an Easter holiday club in our own hall in April, and in connection with this, there'll be a planning meeting in Park Church on Tuesday the 4th of March at 7:30. So that's an Easter holiday club and a planning meeting, Park Church, Tuesday the 4th of March at 7:30. We're looking for as many people as possible to help. So if you think you could help or would like to find out more, then please speak to Margaret Sybil there, or to Frieda, or to Christine, and that will be super. And if you can go along to that meeting on the 4th at 7:30, that would be great as well. Now, who likes blowing bubbles? Isn't it amazing the happiness that we can find when we're blowing bubbles? And I went into Stirling yesterday afternoon and I found myself in a shop and I ended up buying these bubbles. And I've had quite a wee bit of fun in the manse. What does that say about me? Anyway, but even this morning I was blowing these bubbles. But I mean, it can be fun. I'm not very good at it though, am I? I think I'm needing more practice. I think blowing bubbles is good fun, and it's not only children that get fun blowing bubbles. I've seen teenagers and adults too having fun blowing bubbles. But of course, the fun or the happiness that you have blowing bubbles, well, it doesn't last, does it? Because if you touch a bubble, it'll burst, or it'll either fly away and you try to reach it, but it's out of your grasp, isn't it? And that made me think of how sometimes people today look for happiness and the chase after happiness through different things. Maybe through money. Isn't it true that some people think, if only I had more money, then I would be happy? It's amazing that I've got £20 here after being in Campbellton for a week. But isn't it true that you spend your money and that's it, gone? And that happiness that you knew for a time, well, it goes as well. There are other things that people think will make them happy. Sometimes if you're feeling down or lonely or anxious, you might think, oh, food will make me happy. Remember my favourite? Maltesers. Sometimes, you know, you think, oh, have a few Maltesers, that'll make me happy. Of course, with a box like that, a few is never enough. And before you know it, you've finished the box. But that doesn't really make you happy forever, does it? Only for a time, and when you finish eating, well, if you've been feeling unhappy and lonely or sad or anxious, you're still unhappy and lonely or sad or anxious. Sometimes people think what will make them happy will be to be popular and well-liked. And some people will almost go out of their way to say and do whatever they think will make other people like them and think well of them. But isn't it true that popularity can be fickle? It comes, but it also goes. Jesus was, of course, very wise, and he knew that people looked for happiness in the wrong things. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having food. There's nothing wrong with being well thought of. But when we make these things our sole focus, we're never really happy. Not in the sense that Jesus wants us to be happy. I think there's something that we can learn from the teaching of Jesus today. If we really want to be happy, we have to become like him. We have to start to think of Jesus and the way in which he wants us to live. We actually have to become like Jesus. And that means putting others before ourselves and doing all that we can to help the lonely and the sick and those who are homeless and without shelter, and so the list goes on. And I believe that when we learn to live our lives the way that Jesus asks us to, when we follow the path that he has set before us, then we will be blessed. And we will know a happiness that, unlike the bubbles, is indeed within our reach. Thanks be to God. When I needed a neighbour, were you there? Hymn 544.
The first reading today comes from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 to 10. This can be found at page 645 in the Old Testament section of the Pew Bibles. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 to 10. These are the words of the Lord: a curse on anyone who trusts in mortals and leans for support on humankind, while his heart is far from the Lord. He will be like a juniper in the steppe land. When good comes, he is unaware of it. He will live among the rocks in the wilderness, in a salt, uninhabited land. Blessed is anyone who trusts in the Lord and rests his confidence on him. He will be like a tree planted by the waterside that sends out its roots along a stream. When the heat comes, it has nothing to fear. Its foliage stays green. Without care in a year of drought, it does not fail to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above any other thing, desperately sick. Who can fathom it? I, the Lord, search the mind and test the heart. The second reading today comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 17 to 26. This can be found at page 54 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles. Luke chapter 6, verses 17 to 26. He came down the hill with them and stopped on some level ground where a large crowd of his disciples had gathered, and with them great numbers of people from Jerusalem and all Judea and from the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to listen to him and to be cured of their diseases. Those who were troubled with unclean spirits were healed, and everyone in the crowd was trying to touch him, because power went out from him and cured them all. Turning to his disciples, he began to speak. Blessed are you who are in need. The kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who now go hungry. You will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now. You will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate and ostracize you, when they insult you and slander your very name because of the Son of Man. On that day, exult and dance for joy, for you have a rich reward in heaven. That is how their fathers treated the prophets. But alas, for you who are rich, you have had your time of happiness. Alas, for you who are well fed now, you will go hungry. Alas, for you who laugh now, you will mourn and weep. Alas, for you when all speak well of you. That is how their fathers treated the false prophets. Amen.
Thank you, Les. I meant to say when I was doing the intimations, friends, that I plan to be visiting at Forth Valley Royal Hospital on Wednesday afternoon. Now, at the moment, I'm only aware of one of our members who's in hospital. And if we only have one member in hospital, that's good. But if you're aware of anyone else in hospital, could you let me know before Wednesday? And I'll be very pleased to visit them. Thank you. Make me a channel of your peace. Hymn 528.
Thank you. We come before God now in our prayers for ourselves and for others. Let us pray. God of light and truth, as your blessing rests upon us, may we be open to your word that lives in us. And may we be open to letting your light guide us in our daily journey with you, leading us in ways we do not yet know, with companions we may not choose. Spirit of God, we pray for peace, not only the cessation of war, but that peace that is beyond our understanding. Peace that is forged when closed fists are opened in sharing and closed hearts are opened in caring. We pray for the political leaders of the world that their decision making would be rooted in wisdom, justice, and collaboration. We pray for the people of Israel and Palestine, of Ukraine and Russia, and we pray for all imprisoned for their beliefs and for those who are killed because of them. We pray for all who are suffering from hunger and deprivation, that our response would be rooted in empathy, generosity, and action. We pray for those places in the world where the cameras really go, especially refugee camps of southern Africa, where drought has never been so severe. We pray for all in our own community, those who are struggling with illness, and all who have been bereaved. We think today of those who have been bereaved suddenly and are still reeling with the loss, and those who have watched over a loved one for many years. We pray that they would be surrounded by support rooted in compassion, respect, and love. And so as we pray with all our hearts that the leaves of evil in the world would wither and fall, and that the trees of peace, justice, and joy would grow deep roots, we ask that we may stand firm and bear the fruits of your kingdom in our lives and in the lives of all we love and have prayed for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We sing again. Hymn 553, Just As I Am, Without One Plea.
Thank you.
In the Monty Python movie, Life of Brian, Jesus goes up on the mountainside to teach the people. There is a huge crowd gathered around him, so huge that some of the people who are on the outer edge of the crowd can't hear what Jesus is saying. As he pronounces what have become known as the Beatitudes, one of the characters in the movie, desperate to know what Jesus has said, asks a man who is ahead of him in the crowd, "What is he saying?" The man checks with the person in front of him, who in turn checks with someone else. And then the message is relayed back. The master says, "Blessed are the cheese makers." I think that is a good illustration of how at times we can misunderstand what Jesus has said. And that can be especially true with regard to the Beatitudes. Luke's account of the Beatitudes is different from Matthew's. Matthew has Jesus on the mountainside, while Luke has him on the plain. And while Matthew lists eight groups of people who will be blessed, Luke only lists four, and they are familiar to us. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who weep. And blessed are you when people hate you and revile you and slander you because of the Son of Man. So far, so good. All this we can readily go along with. But then, Luke lists what have been described as four woes. Woe to you who are rich now. Woe to you who are well fed now. Woe to you who laugh now. And woe to you when all speak well of you. This is not so good, is it? Far from being comforting, these are words the meaning of which could make the rich, the full, the happy and well thought of very uncomfortable. Indeed, I wonder, how do we feel as we reflect on these words in light of our own circumstances? For compared to many in this world, we are privileged. We are rich, aren't we? The idea that God will comfort those who mourn rests easily with us. And the thought that those who do what is right but are ridiculed in this life will ultimately be rewarded in the next life is pleasing. For who does not at some time or other need such comfort? And we know from our own experience that doing right is not always welcomed by those around us. So it is surely a comfort to know that one day God will set the record straight. But the idea that the riches we have may lead to us being cursed by God, that the food that we have may be taken away from us, that the joy we have may be replaced by sorrow, and the good name we have may become a stumbling block to entering the kingdom. Well, that's an altogether different matter, isn't it? This is hard stuff to swallow. And perhaps it's meant to be. This passage from Luke is not an easy passage to deal with. Indeed, it is one that many people, ministers among them, avoid altogether. And I have to confess that as I looked at the passage again yesterday morning, part of me wished I'd avoided it too. But we'll have to try and make sense of it. Occasionally, when I've been involved in Bible study groups, and we've been looking at the Beatitudes, I have heard some people say that in many ways the poor are better off than the rich, because their poverty makes them more dependent not only on one another, but more especially on God. Now, while there may be an element of truth in that, one has to ask, if being poor really is better than being rich, then why don't those of us who have plenty sell or give away what we have and become poor? But that understanding is, in my book, to misrepresent what Jesus said. That is a bit of blessed are the cheesemakers. So let's think about it. Would you agree with me that in many people's reckoning, those who have wealth have it for two reasons? They have worked hard for it. Or they have been blessed by God. Likewise, there are those who think that the poor are poor because they're lazy, and their parents were lazy, and because of that, God does not look favorably upon them. Now, we have to be honest. When you read some parts of the Old Testament, there is a suggestion that we prosper when we're obedient to God, and we suffer when we're disobedient. But such thinking, for me at least, doesn't sit easy, and it's well off the mark. Let me explain why. If we think along these lines, such thinking would make it easy for us to look at the world and blame the poor and the thirsty and the persecuted and the sorrowful for their own plight. And a consequence of that would be to let us off the hook of caring for those around us and of seeing the less fortunate as people equal to us in every way, save that they need a portion of what we have. I recently came across what has been labelled the parable of the pit. This is an abbreviated version of it, because it goes on quite a bit. And if I was to read all of it here, well, you might get your lunch about 3 o'clock. And that's not a nice thought. A man fell into a pit and could not get himself out. A mystic said, "You only think you're in a pit." A Pharisee said, "Only bad people fall into a pit." An evasive person talked to him and avoided the subject of the pit altogether. A self-pitying person said, "You haven't seen anything until you've seen my pit." An optimist said, "Things could be worse." A pessimist said, "Things will get worse." But Jesus, seeing the man, took him by the hand and lifted him out of the pit. My friends, when we look closely at the Beatitudes, we are confronted above all else with the love of God. A love that caused God to give the world his only Son. A love that, as we sang a moment ago, takes us just as we are in all our brokenness. And a love that seeks to set us on the right track and to lead us in a new and blessed way. But what does that actually entail? Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And that's because his heart was so tender. And he has something important to say to us today. Those who think that human beings have all the answers to life's questions will find that in the end what they believe will turn to dust. Everything they trusted to give them life will dry up like a desert stream. On the other hand, those who trust God and who build their lives on His word will find that what looks like a dry and empty space by human standards will in fact be transformed into an oasis, a wonderful oasis of abundant life and meaning. And what did Jesus have to say? Because we have to listen to Jesus. Sometimes we forget that, don't we? In our Christian walk, we think we can go it alone. We pretend we're listening, but we fail to really hear what Jesus has to say. And sometimes it disturbs. Sometimes it challenges. I think in the passage before us today from Luke's Gospel, Jesus gives us a warning. But as always, it's a warning clothed in love. There is absolutely nothing wrong with having money or food on our table. There's nothing wrong with being happy or well-liked. That's perfectly fine and in order. But the problem arises when we focus on these things alone and not on Jesus, who is the source of every good and perfect gift. When we do that, we set ourselves up for a huge disappointment. Someone put it like this. Jesus calls us to be his hands, his eyes, and his feet here on earth. He calls us to be his hands, his eyes, and his feet here on earth. He calls us to love and care for the poor, the homeless, the persecuted, and the oppressed. He calls us, you and me together, to put the needs of others before our own. That is a tall order. That is contrary to the thinking and the mindset of many people in our society today. But the reality is, it is only when we live that way and do such things that we will know what it is to be the body of Christ, to enter and experience the joy of his kingdom, and to truly be blessed. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we have heard your word. Help us to meditate on it day and night. Help us to become more like Jesus, so that others, when they look at us, will see something of Jesus and be blessed. In his name and for his sake. Amen. I remind you of the invitation to gather at the parish halls for a cup of tea or coffee and a biscuit following the service. It would be good to see you there if you can come along. Our closing hymn, 484. Great God, your love has called us here. in love, go in joy, go in peace, and the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you, now and forevermore.